Blog Talk Radio.
I know if some of you watched the debate last night, you were sort of aghast when Trump said he'd done more for us than Abraham Lincoln. Well, he's the same one, so I can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue. They'd still go for me. And by the looks of it, he's not off the mark. His supporters seem like to be the invasion of the Walking Dead, the invasion of the body snatchers. They don't like facts. They love fiction. They are akin to somewhat what we always discuss on this show. They are akin to what universal white race supremacy is all about. You see, the oligarchs in this system, as they were in the 18th and the 17th century in this country, you know, not very many had ownership of us, only a few. And they ruled the community with an iron fence, and the poor white folk, they sort of went along with it to get some prestige because they felt even less than. So they were the buffer between the oligarchs of this system, as in now. They don't get any benefit out of the system. I was in a feel-good feeling. Oh, I'm better than they are. Yeah, I'm way better than they are. Oh, they don't get anything out of it. But prestige, a false sense of hope, nothing more. It reminds me of a story I told once on the show. And it was some well-to-do brothers and sisters were going to a party. And they got into the elevator. They were talking among themselves. They were playing the old white woman, homeless woman, any attention. They would nobody being rude. I think they spoke when they entered, and she didn't speak back. So they commenced in their conversation. They were just having fun coming from a party. Several couples. And finally, when the elevator reached its destination on the last floor, the white woman said, turned around and addressed him, "At least I'm better than y'all." See, that's what the sickness of universal white race supremacy can do to you. At least I'm better than y'all. She's homeless. They're well-to-do. They're dressed fabulously. They're highly educated. They're loving. They're supportive. But she is better than they are just by virtue of her skin hue. And one more thing. See, evil in this universe, this known universe that we're living in, never really goes anywhere. It only closes up shop and reopens somewhere sometime later, soon, as in the case of in this country. We've been living under this false illusion that things have gotten better for us, or we get better. But they've never gotten any better, because you can make any law you want to make to curtail their violence and animosity and hatred against us. But you can't change the soul of a person. And as I said, evil doesn't go anywhere. It only closes up shop and reopens somewhere else, maybe in your neighborhood. That being said, my name is Yom Suf, and this is the Real Talk for Real People investigatory show. And the reason why we investigate it, to combat this evil, this wickedness, so you won't become drawn into the illusion, a false sense of hope. Yes, you do need devotion. But before we get started in our studies, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, brother. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been indoctrinated in a way in the United States and Western world that they're
right.
Superior. We are inferior.
Exactly.
So most of them are blind to the truth of history. You know, our ancestors didn't look, at people in that way. They treated the people according to their character.
Exactly. Exactly.
So even in Egypt, how Pharaoh was treating Joseph. Why? Because of his character.
His character.
He didn't choose any of his men.
Right.
Was there anything prejudiced between Shem and Ham?
Mm-hmm.
Your character is what counted.
Exactly. Unlike in this Western Hemisphere.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. So, and some of us subscribe to emulate it and follow behind it. As if there's going to be our reincarnation. My.
Is they tell you that they would never invite Donald Trump to their house. He's not a good example for their children. He don't set, you know, a proper example, but you're going to vote for him anyway.
Man, I'm telling you, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1984, Cadre.
You don't like Joe Biden, but you're going to invite him to your house anyway. You wouldn't invite him.
The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Cartrell.
There's a lot of illusion. So
yeah.
People under illusions, man. They see the puppets out there dancing. It's puppet dancing time. November 3rd is like the kickoff date for stuff to go down.
Exactly.
And, people are in anxiety. But the Most High is ravishing the earth with judgment, man.
Exactly.
You ain't looking at what's going on in the world. You worry about what the people is doing. You should watch what the Most High is doing.
They certainly should, Katya, and I had to concur with you on that. That's who they should be worried about. Men, they're here today, gone tomorrow. All of us. And
yep,
what Yom Suf is talking about is not going to amount to a hill of bean, but what the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, talks about is life. Life. Well,
so I hope your hopes ain't in America in the future, because America is slowly sinking.
Truth be told.
If you ain't putting your trust in the Most High, I don't know what you're going to do.
You're in real big trouble, Cartrell. Real big trouble.
Yeah, man.
Well, Cartrell, fellow students, let's find out. Because the learning curve is... Sometimes for some people can be short. Sometimes for others, unfortunately, can be long. That's why these studies are very imperative. That you take everything, and when we go back into these studies, you got to go back in your mind's eye. You just can't just read along with us and stay alone. You have to transport yourself back into that time. You have to get the feel of what's going on. You had to see it from all angles. You had to see it from the eyes of Joseph, the eyes of his brother, the eyes of the Pharaoh, the eyes of the Hebrews, the eyes of the Egyptians. You had to see it from all angles in order to glean all the pertinent information that could be useful to you. So let us go into these studies. May the Most High bless you by the reading and intense investigatory studies of his word, and most importantly, the application of said word. Turn to chapter 42 of Bereshit. No, not Genesis. The Hebrew word, first book, Bereshit. Give you a few seconds to get there. We're going to get started. Now, you know, in the previous chapter, there's a famine that hit the land, and Joseph had advised the Pharaoh in Mezarim that, you know, based upon his dream, that the Most High was letting him know that you're going to have seven abundant years and you're going to have seven bad years. They're going to be real abundant and they're going to be real bad. And not only that, it affected the whole known universe at that time. And so that leads us into this chapter right here. That Yaqub is speaking to his sons because they seem to be in total confusion about everything. When Yaqub saw that there was food rations to be had in the land of the Mezarines, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at one another? Why do you keep looking all confused?" I can imagine that scene. Now,
that sounds like a typical brother talking to his children, right?
Right. He got all his boys behind. What y'all looking at each other? What y'all looking at each other for? So he had a resolution. He said, "Now I hear," he went on, "that there are rations to be had at Mezarim." go down and procure rations for us there, that we may live and not die. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to get grain rations and Mezarim. For Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brother, since he feared that he might meet with disaster. He fawned upon the boy because he had lost Joseph from the wife he had cherished, Rachel. And so she only had two sons. She had Joseph and Benjamin. So he fawned upon the boy. He had already lost Joseph, so he thought. So he didn't want him to meet with any disaster. Thus the sons of Israel, Jacob, were among those who came to procure rations from the famine extended to the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was the visor, second one in command of the land. And it was he who dispensed rations to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brother came and bowed low to him. They didn't even recognize him. With their face to the ground, they humbled themselves.
Wait, whoa, Joseph, whoa.
Hmm?
They did what?
They bowed like their dream he had. They bowed.
And before they would never do that, right?
Right. He said it was going to happen. They resisted it. But if the Most High wanted it to happen, it don't make no difference what their sentiments about it. They bowed down, okay, according to Joseph's dreams. And Joseph's brother came and bowed down to him with their face to the ground. When Joseph saw his brother, he recognized him, but he acted like a stranger toward them and spoke harshly to them. He asked him, "Where y'all come from?" They said, "From the land of Canaan to procure food." For though Joseph recognized his brother, they did not recognize him.
What?
Joseph recognized his brother, but they didn't recognize him.
Why?
Because you got to realize years had passed by. Hey, 20-some years had passed by. They saw a 17-year-old. Joseph is not 17-year-old. He's a man of a stature. He's an older, mature brother now. And so they hadn't seen him. And so they could imagine, because they knew what they thought in their mind, what they had did to him. So there was no inkling of thought that this could be their brother, because he's an Egyptian. There's no way a Hebrew going to be running stuff here in their mind. So the thought never entered their mind.
So he didn't look like an Ashkenazi Jew, and they didn't look like Jew.
There's no way in hell he could have looked like an Ashkenazi Jew, okay?
His old brother said he was Egyptian?
Yeah. That would have drew their attention to him so quick like a magnet, brother.
Right.
Okay? There's no way he could have looked like that. He looked like the Hamites. And we all know that the Hamites were brothers of dark hue. Okay, so obviously, Joseph would conclude to anyone of a rational mind that the Hebrews were people of dark hue, look like the Hamites. Okay, similar characteristics. So
we probably recognized them by their clothes and their facial features.
Right, and he knew how to be born, and they all looked at that. It's something that came back to him from that 17-year-old boy. He knew how they act, how they comported themselves, their demeanor, their nuances. So he knew.
And what they were calling each other.
Right.
What they were called, Reuben and Judah.
Right. But he knew they were Hebrew by their dress. And then they probably were speaking Hebrew, that we were going to come to find out, that they were speaking Hebrew among one another. But they didn't know Joseph knew Hebrew. And so he knew exactly what they were talking about. We're going to come to find that out. I'm sort of putting the cart before the horse, as Cartrell says.
It's all right, bro.
Okay. Recalling the dreams that he had dreamed about them, Joseph said to them, Joseph's going to put some tricks in the game. So he says, "You are spies. You come to see the land and its nakedness. But they said to him, no, 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 my Lord. Truly your servants have come to, we didn't come to get some food, to procure food. We are all sons of the same man. And we are honest men. And they probably had developed into honest men. And your servants, after that one incident, your servants have never been spied. We've never spied on anyone. And he said to them, no, you've come to see the land and its nakedness when we're down and out. And they replied, we, your servants, are 12 brothers, sons of a certain man in the land of Canaan. And the youngest, however, is now with our father. And one is no more. He ain't with us no more. And Joseph,
they sure giving up a lot of information, ain't they?
Hey, man, when you're scared, you talk. Well, contrary, when you're scared, you're hungry, you tell everything. You sing like a canary. But Joseph said to them, it is just as I told you. You are spies. But by this you shall be put to the test. I'm going to test y'all. And here's the test. Unless your youngest brother comes here.
Oh.
He put him in a trick bag. By Pharaoh.
There's a problem with that.
You shall not depart from this place. Unless you go get your young brother, you ain't going to leave from this place. He said, okay, let one of you go and bring the brother while the rest of you remain confined, that your words may be put to the test, what you're saying, whether there is truth in you. Else by Pharaoh, you're nothing but spies. And he confined them in the guardhouse for 3 days, get their mind right, soften them up. And Joseph had turned.
No, to give him a taste of what he had.
Yeah.
But no taste. But I ain't gonna keep you in there for a week or a month or a year.
I'm gonna show you how it felt.
Just 3 days.
Exactly. On the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you shall live. For I am a God-fearing man. Okay? If you are honest men, let one of you brothers be held in your place of detention. Okay? I'm gonna change it up then. I ain't going to keep all of you. I'm going to hold one of you. And while the rest of you go and take home rations for your starving. At least he was considered. He thought about his family. He thought, I'm not just hurting them. I'm hurting my family too. So I'm going to keep one of you. And I'm going to send you home with rations for your starving household. But you must bring your youngest brother that you're
hurting. Hold up. There's a problem with that.
Uh-huh.
Jacob sent out how many of his sons?
He said he had 11 because one is not with us anymore.
So he sent out 10 of his sons to go get food.
Exactly.
Now they're coming back with 9. Now I got to explain to him, where's the other one?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, daddy gonna ask that question. Believe you me. By the rest of you,
Bill. Really setting them up.
Yeah, he's setting them up. He said, while the rest of you go and take home rations for your starving household, but you must bring me your youngest brother, that your words may be verified, that you may not die. Because if you're lying, you're going to die. And they did accordingly. They said to one another, at last, they knew chickens come home to roost. You reap what you sow. Karma. They said to one another, at last, we're being punished on account of our brother, Joseph, because we looked at his anguish, yet paid no heed as he pleaded to us. That is why this distress has come upon us.
Is that how we treat each other?
Exactly.
You can see our distress, but we don't come and help each other.
Right, but we don't,
kind of like Joe.
But see, Cartrell, some of us are so ignorant of our ways. They don't understand where their distress come from. when they talk about Yom Sufu, when they talk about Cartrell, and they get distressed, they don't make the connection. Because we read in the book of Job, because the Most High hides himself from them. They're just in a stressful state of mind. They think it's okay. I'm just having a bad time. No, you need to make the connection. You need to make the spiritual connection. If Yom Sufu and Cartrell did something ill to a brother and a sister, and we are distressed, you and I can easily make the connection. But you don't do these studies, Cartrell, you wouldn't be able to make these connections. But these brothers, as you study,
you see that Joseph's brothers, they immediately knew something was dead wrong, and they went right back to the sin that they had committed.
Exactly.
Kidnapping, selling their brother, telling their father that a wild beast must have killed him,
knowing that
they sold him as a slave.
Exactly.
So now, that first thought came to them, oh, we getting this because of what happened to Joseph.
Right.
Because they know they got to go back and explain the whole situation to their father. They got to explain why one of their brothers in there, and then they got to explain why they got to bring Benjamin, who he didn't let go in the first place.
It's going to be a hard charge. Let me tell you something, Cartrell. See, here's what I love about these brothers. You can say what you want to say about them. These brothers could do a critical examination of oneself. And then obviously they examined their behavior. What have I done wrong? They did an self-examination. And with their self-examination, apparently they did good after the Joseph debacle. But they had to do a self. What have we done wrong? And they could only come to one major conclusion, that they themselves as a unit, not individual, as a unit did. And that's why this is befalling to them as a unit, not individual.
Because now it's life and death on the whole family. If they don't carry out the mission, the family's going to starve.
And the family's going to suffer. We're suffering on it. This family is suffering on account of the unit, the nation, the young beginning of a nation. And we still suffer, Cartrell, because we do the same thing. We don't do self-examination. And we keep doing the same thing over and over again, Cartrell, and expecting different results.
We got to do what they did. They didn't.
Exactly.
The first, when they got this news, they didn't say, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it was you. They wasn't pointing fingers at each other, was it?
They said, we did. They all accept the blame.
Yep.
Because they were all guilty.
That's right.
They didn't say, Reuben, it's you, Gad. No, Gad. No, it's you, Manash.
Reuben did it.
Yeah. It's you. You the call.
Reuben could have said, I wasn't even there. I came back. The boy was gone. I told y'all not to do it.
but he knew in a bit, you're always guilty by doing this by design, no matter what the outcome. Y'all had did by design and throw him in the pit. So no matter what the outcome, because you was gone, you still part of it. What part you played in it?
Okay? He didn't tell his father the truth, did he?
Right, and you didn't go back and tell your daddy the truth. That means you were in part of the conspiracy. Because maybe if you went back and told your father the truth, your father wouldn't have been moaning and pining and wailing for Joseph. And then he's so overprotective of Benjamin. So daddy is overprotective of Benjamin because the loss of Joseph. And obviously they didn't tell daddy, as we're going to find out as we continue on with this study. Alas, we are being punished on account of our brother, because we looked at his anguish, yet we paid no heed as he pleaded with us. That is why this distress has come upon us. When Reuben spoke up and said to them, did I not tell you, do no wrong to the boy? Reuben said, I told y'all don't do no wrong to that boy, but you paid no heed. Now comes the reckoning for his blood. See, y'all don't understand y'all. See, that's y'all problem. Y'all, that's a reckoning for the blood. Now, it may not come when you think it's going to come, but reckoning for the blood got to come. And these brothers knew that. They were indoctrinated into that. They knew that. Chickens come home to roost. Karma. What you reap what you sow. They did not know that Joseph understood because they didn't think he was Hebrew. They were speaking in Hebrew. For there was an interpreter between him and them. Someone was an interpreter between them. So they didn't think Joseph knew what he was saying. And Joseph got so upset because in their mind he knew they had come to, they did him wrong. And that struck Joseph. That brought out tender mercy in Joseph because he had been talking hard to them fellows. Real hard to him. But when he heard that they knew that they had did wrong and they knew that chickens came home to roost and you reap what you sow, it brought out tender mercies in Joseph. And so it brought out so much in him that he turned away and wept. He had to get away. He had to leave and wept. But he came back to them and spoke to them.
So he knew that they felt something because of
right.
what they did to him.
And he was touched by what they felt. He was touched by that pain, that anguish. And that's how we all be toward one another.
Family.
Like family. And instead of revenge and payback. You can't pay nobody back for revenge. How you going to pay somebody? I'm going to pay you back. Pay you back for to me. I'm supposed to get something. I'm going to pay you back. And he took Simeon from among them and had him bound before their eyes. He had him tied up.
Why he picked Simeon? You think he was the agitator?
He probably could have been. Let me get that agitator, instigator right there. Let me give him a little taste of love. Hard
Simeon
love.
Wanted to kill Joseph.
Joe did.
Kill him. Like
so he had
killed,
his reason.
Like,
I mean,
killed, like he killed Shechem.
Right, he picked that. So yeah, you the one talking all that noise, kill it. Yeah, all right. You want him to get? What's your name, Simeon? Wrap him up.
Right before they die.
Yeah, wrap him up. and had him bound before their eyes. Then Joseph gave orders to bring their bags with grain, but he told the people working for him, return each one money, put it in their sack. And give
oh,
them
boy.
Provision for the journey. And this was done for them. So they loaded their asses with the rations and departed from there, going back home to Canaan. As one of them was opening his sack to feed to his ass at the night encampment, he saw the money right there at the mouth of his bag. And he said to his brothers, my money has returned. It is here in my bag. And his heart sank, oh Lord. And trembling, they turned to one another and said, what is this that Yah has done to us? Oh Lord. He won't Benjamin back. He got Simeon. Oh Lord. Oh, and we got this money. Oh, what's going on? Y'all, what have you? They knew Yah is in control of everything. And that's what you have to understand, even under these dire circumstances in this Western Hemisphere. You may be in trepidation because of your health, about because of COVID-19, because of Donald Trump. You don't have to be in trepidation about anything because our forefathers understood. Yah is in control. So evidently, Yah put us in this trick bag.
They didn't say we got over. We got money. We got the money back. We got all this stuff for free.
But that ain't how they were thinking.
Oh, no.
That ain't how they were thinking. It's all, man, come on, man. Oh, Lord, God, what have you done to us? And when
how
they
would
came,
we think today?
How would we think today?
If we were in that circumstance.
What have the Republicans done? What has Donald Trump done? What has COVID-19 done? You would be thinking, what has Yah done to us and why? And when they came to their father, Yaqub, in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had befallen and happened to them, saying, the man who is Lord over the land spoke harshly to us and accused us, daddy, of spying on the land. And we said to him, daddy, we're honest men. We've never been spies. There were 12 of us, brothers, sons by the same father. But one is no more, Joseph. And the youngest now is with our father in the land of Canaan. But the man who is Lord of the land of Mizraim said to us, by this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me. They didn't tell, they didn't say, he bound up the brother. He like he just left on a dinner date. Your brother's still trying to be slick. They didn't tell daddy he bound him. He said, leave one of your brother with me and take something for your starving household and be off, no problem. But bring your youngest brother to me that I may know that you're not spies, but honest men. And I will then restore your brother to you. And you shall be free to move about the land. You will free have free access. As they were emptying their sacks, there in each one's sack was his money bag. And when they and their father, see, they all of them didn't even know they had the money in the bag. Only one of them did. But when they were emptying the grain, each one saw the money bag, and they were dismayed. And the father knew someone right. And the father said to them, it is always me that you put me in trouble. Y'all done did something. What is y'all done did? What is y'all done did? Y'all done come in back this fairy tale by one of your brothers that he just sitting there like he on a dinner date with the leader of the land, but y'all done open his bag, all y'all get. Y'all, man, y'all just call me headaches, man. It's always me y'all causing these headaches. And when his father was Jacob's son, and their father Zakub said, it is always me that you bereave. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you would take away Benjamin? You done got Joseph himself. You done got Simeon. You done got this man money. Y'all done did something. Now you want to take away my... No. I ain't having none of that.
Every time I send y'all
somewhere to do something, always happen to me. Then Reuben said unto his father, You may kill my two sons, Daddy, if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my care, and I will return him to you.
Does that make good sense?
Yeah, it was a fair exchange.
No.
Hold on.
Jacob don't want to see his two grandsons killed.
No, he don't.
Bring my sons back.
But you know, the way he was thinking, he was just thinking about a good deal. Okay, Daddy, we had one son messed up, Joseph. Now, we're going to take Benjamin. So I'm going to give you my two sons. But that's their grand. Hey, that man want to hear none of that. No, that is not no fair say. You can't take the love out of my heart and think I'm gonna kill my grandchildren. What is wrong with you, man? It's always me that y'all
making a bad situation worse.
And so he says, Contrera and fellow students, and he said, my son must not go down with you.
Oh no.
For his brother is dead, Joseph. And he alone is left. He from Rachel, what he's implying. And if he meet with disaster on the journey you are taking, you will send my white head down to Sheol in grief. You're going to send me to the grave in grief. If this boy goes somewhere with you, you done already got his brother's kid. You couldn't take care of him. And now you want to take my baby? No, I ain't have none of that. You won't. Give me a fair shame with my grandchildren. What I'm going to do with them?
If you don't bring my son Benjamin back.
What's wrong with you, man? It is always me that y'all bereave. Y'all always bring the trouble on me. No, Joseph was not in a conciliatory mood this Sunday. Come on. But he's going, but Yah has a way of changing people's minds. About every day. But I'm not going to get before the next chapter, but I'm going to just say this. Y'all have a way of changing people's mind and hearts even our enemies. Cartrell, what say you, my brother and friend?
It's a powerful story because it's our root. It's our culture. It's in our DNA.
Exactly.
Because we ain't got nothing but trouble in our house. We be wondering where it come from.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Jacob, he really going through it, man. But
look here. Joseph ain't being too nice on him neither.
Nah,
he
has the right to be angry with them.
Right.
He had every right to be angry. But he still loved them.
Yeah, for him to cry, Cartrell, when he heard his brothers talking in Hebrew and they didn't understand that he understood what they were saying, and they were in anguish, and that he knew that they had made a connection to why they were in anguish, it gave him a tender touch, and he had to go away and cry.
It also made him mad, too, which is why he tested them. Let me see if these guys have changed, for real.
Right. Yeah,
it was so tender, he would have exposed himself right then and there. Listen, I'm Joseph.
Right.
You can have anything you want. You know, take the money, take whatever you want. Just bring my father here right now. He could have did that right then and there. But no, he said, I'm going to test these guys after all these years, see what they're really like.
And you know, that's good for us. Sometimes we got to test each other, Cartrell.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we got to.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we have to test each other. Cartrell, I don't want to go into the detail. Did you see that clip that Iman Hadora sent about that situation about this fellow talking to those two sisters?
No.
You didn't want to see it, bro. And I'm not going to get into it, okay? It was despicable. And I'm not going to get into it. It was a brother and his two wives, and they were talking. And I thought maybe she had sent it to you. And I don't even want to talk about that on the air. Some things you don't talk about on the air. Sometimes things about family, you talk among family. But let's turn to Job chapter 19.
We do talk about the elevation and the importance of our sisters. Hand that rock to the cradle, rules the world.
Yeah.
We have much honor, mad respect for the daughters of Zion, our sisters, our mothers, our daughters, our wives. And that's how the Most High wants us to roll.
Well, this guy, I'm not going to say who he was. I really don't know who he was. And the situation called for, he was chastising his first wife about the sexual liaison that he had with his second wife. And she was jealous of the second wife. And he was saying, you know, I thought you were my empress or something like this. And you wanted to do a threesome. I said, man, what the hell? And he put this on tape. And he was chastised. And then he was calling her my nigga. My nigga. I said, man, what the hell? And then he was talking about, you want to have a sort of like a threesome. And then, you know, I beat your stuff. Man, what is you saying, you foul mouth man? And then you got your, and then I was beating your sister way, I was beating her up. And then you got all upset, feeling some sort of way, my nigga. And then, you know, and my thing got so I said, man, what the hell, bro? Some of us don't have a clue, and some of us don't get it, bro. You feel what I'm saying? And then you take this and you put this live about our sisters, man. What's wrong with some of y'all? Hey, that's what I'm saying, Cartrell.
Yeah, they need to be called out. You could tell he doesn't do study. He doesn't study what we study. Because
well, you know what,
his wives like that. I know they had issues.
After the show, I'm going to try to find it because Iman Hadora sent it to me. And I'm going to fax it on to you. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can find it right quick right now. I'm pretty sure you can't read it. Because I think Iman Hadora wanted me to look over it. I couldn't do it. I said, what the hell? I said, huh? I had to do what Iman Hadora said. I said, huh? What the hell?
I don't need to see that mess, man.
It was mess. And I wish I hadn't saw it, Cartrell, truth be told. I wish I hadn't saw it. All right, brothers and sisters, turn to Job chapter 19. And Job is trusting in the Redeemer no matter what, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and no matter what the circumstances. And he's sort of showing you the way you should be, no matter what the circumstances. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. And may the Most High bless you by the reading, study, and most importantly, the application of his word in your lives, so you won't lean to your own understanding and get yourself in trouble. And now, he says, Job answers Behadai, how long will you torment my soul? You guys are tormenting my soul and break me in pieces with your words. These 10 times you have reproached me. You've reproached me 10 times. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. You ain't ashamed that you wronged me. You're wronging me. And if indeed I have erred, my errors remain with me. If I've done something wrong, you don't know about it. It remains with me. You don't even know what you're talking about. If indeed you exalt yourselves against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then, know this, that Yah has wronged me. I ain't did no wrong. And have surrounded me with his net. I cry out concerning wrong. I'm not hurt because I ain't did nothing wrong. I cry aloud, but there's no justice. He has fenced up my way so that I can't pass. He has set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory and taken a crown from my head. He breaks me down on every side, and I'm gone. My hope, he is uprooted like a tree. He has kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as one of his enemies now. His troops come together and build up their road against me. They encamp around my tent. He has removed my brothers far from me.
Sound like our situation.
Yeah.
He's describing.
Exactly. And he, obviously, Job considered them his brothers, these three so-called friends. He has removed my brothers far from me. And my acquaintances are completely, and he sees them as his. That is the two things. Job actually had brothers, and they were removed far from him, because he goes on to say, and my acquaintances, which is these so-called fair weather friends, are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed. They failed me. My close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservant, they count me as a stranger. I'm an alien in that sight. They don't even see me. I call my servant, but he gives no answer. He don't even respond to me. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife. My wife don't even want him, won't even smell my stinking breath. I'm repulsive to the children of my own body. Even young children despise me. I arise and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me, as you can see you're doing to me. And those whom I love have turned against me. My bone cling to my skin and my flesh. And I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. I'm just holding on.
So you wonder where that phrase came from.
By the skin of their teeth, yeah, I know. I'm just holding on. And he says, he says to them, have pity on me. Have pity on me, oh, you my friends. But the hand of Yah has struck me. That's why you ain't. Why do you persecute me as Yah does? Why do you come here, the three of you, to persecute me as Yah does? And I'm not satisfied with my flesh the way it is. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they would write these down. Oh, that
they sure did.
Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved on a rock. with an iron pen and lead forever. So people read this forever. For I know this, what I want them to know, under all what I've said about these friends, these family, these maidservants, about my life in general. On this I stake my premise and hope, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Who's going to redeem me? He is alive, and he lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see Yah. And he said, I know this. I'm going to come back. He didn't say heaven. He said, I will see Yah in my flesh. I will have a reincarnation. No, not like a donkey or monkey. I'm not going to come back a donkey or monkey. I'm going to come back as me, because my hope is in Yah. And total confidence. For whom I shall see for myself, my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. If you should say, how shall we persecute you? Since the root of the matter is found in me, you're asking me a question. If you should say, how should we persecute you? Since the root of the problem is found in you, Job. If you're saying the problem is in me, if you're saying the cause of the problem, that it is persisting itself against me, I trust in Yah. But here's what I want.
You so he didn't do anything evil towards his friends.
Exactly.
They can't accuse him of like stealing or robbing or sleeping with their
right.
wife or anything of that. You can't accuse me of anything that you know. What's happening to me is within inside of me. It's between me and the Most High.
Right. It ain't your business. I just straight it up with the Most High. There ain't none of public matter I've done. Okay? This is in me. I'm dealing with me and Yah. Me and Yah working this out. Okay? But here's what he says. Here's what he tells them. But you better be afraid of the sword for yourselves. For wrath brings the punishment of the sword. That you may know that there is a judgment. All your self-righteous anger talking about me, you better be careful for yourself. You better make yourself right with Yah. Okay? Instead of trying to put some dirt on me. But in the final analysis, Job's saying, I don't care what y'all saying. I don't care how my wife treating me, how these maids and how these little kids mocking me. I don't care how y'all coming at me. My hope ain't in damn one of y'all anyway. My hope is in my Redeemer, Yah. And I will see Yah. And I will see him in the flesh. I ain't talking about heaven. I'm going to see him reincarnated. That's what he's saying.
After his skin is destroyed.
Exactly. Beautiful thing, Cartrell. And he said, I pray that somebody write these words down. And surely they did. That's why they're reading me. Because this is an important lesson here. You can't trust in nobody but Yah. All your trust should be in Yah. All your confidence. And not in your intelligence. Not in your money. Not in your friends, mama, sister, brother, wife, maid, servant, or whatnot. All your confidence, your total reliance should be in Yah. And like he said, even if I go through this process, even if I go through what I'm going through, my hope is in my Redeemer. And that's how your mind ought to be. Godfrey,
he's telling them, you're so worried about me, you better worry about yourself.
You worry about my business.
You're afraid of the sword for yourselves.
Right.
For wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you
right.
may know that there is a judgment. Y'all going to judge all of us.
Exactly.
Every
single
one of us.
You all up in my flavor. What is it? What they say? You all up in my flavor. Don't know the Kool-Aid or something like this. You better be worried about yourself, man. We be saying the same thing now, Katya. You better be worried about yourself. All up in my Kool-Aid. Don't know the flavor.
I ain't worried about nobody else. I'm worried about me, trying to get myself right like Job with the Most High. That's my main objective. I could share words, like Job is sharing words with his friends. But we hope that our friends and our acquaintances and our families pay attention, because there is a judgment that he's going to judge everybody.
Truth be told.
Yeah, man.
Let me work it on you instead of working on my last nerve. Which they were doing, working on Job's last name. And he was saying, take pity on me. Have some pity, man. Have some pity.
Like, back up, please.
Yeah. Give me a break, man.
You can see the Most High striking me, smacking me around. Now you're going to add on to that.
Y'all go pile on. Y'all ain't making matters good. Y'all making matters worse.
But he's one man going through it. We the whole nation going through what he went through.
Exactly. And but you need to know the right response, Cadrio.
Oh yeah.
The right response.
He's giving us the antidote. It's always there, isn't it? The antidote is always there.
Humble yourself and plead to Yah. Plead your case before Yah. Humble yourself. Don't plead it before me. I can't do nothing for you. I'm just coming there and pray with you, try to make you feel good, but that's all that I can do for you. You plead your case to Yah. I ain't gonna come there and step on you. I ain't come down and put you down. I'm just coming in. If I come, I'm coming to love on you. I know you're doing all right, man. I know you made things right with Yah. And if you ain't, you know, we need to be working on that, but that's all I got to say about that. You know, Yah may be testing. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know what's in the hearts of men and women. I barely know what's in my own mind. I'm working on that. Yeah,
I have to remind the family that Job is before the laws of Moses. Moses wasn't even thought of in the time of Job. So they knew the principles of good and evil, right and wrong. They knew that you can commit iniquities and you would be judged by Yah. So if you think that Torah and the laws of Moses alone makes you righteous, Job debunks all of that because he didn't even know Moses. But he's talking about the laws. I mean, he's talking about his iniquities and his wickedness and the path that he walked, a pure path, an upright path, helped the poor and the needy. He didn't violate any rules of righteousness.
Right. Well, you know what, Carter? I think Joseph's brothers sort of debunked that too. They didn't have the laws.
Oh, no.
They knew what was wrong. They knew they did wrong.
The fact that you brought that up is very important, because what happened with Judah and Tamar? You remember?
Judah and Tamar? You know what happened? He know he did wrong.
What wrong did he do?
He tried to get him a prostitute and whatnot.
He forgot to give his son to Tamar.
Oh, that's right. I missed it. I'm just looking at the bigger picture. But yeah, he promised his youngest to her, and he failed to do that. He broke his
word. In order to do what?
To carry his lineage on, his son's lineage on with his first wife through marriage.
Moses wasn't around when they knew that. I will call it a tradition, because in the laws of Moses, that's a law. If your brother dies, he marries a wife and doesn't have a son, the next brother in line has to marry her and bring forth a son in behalf of his brother. That's a law that Moses brought to the nation of Israel. But Judah was doing that way before he even knew, you know, who he was,
right?
What he was doing.
Exactly. He knew right from wrong.
That's right. And the fact that his son had died, one of his sons had a wife, he knew that the next son in line had to bring forth a name for his brother.
Right.
And the Most High got upset because his brother didn't do it, right?
Exactly. He gonna pull out.
Yeah.
He gonna pull out
to the ground.
Right.
Most High killed him. Most High killed him.
Exactly.
That's why Sheila was promised.
Exactly. And then he violated the code, brother.
He violated Tamar.
Right. The unwritten code.
He used her as a prostitute.
Right.
Rather than bring forth his brother's seed.
Exactly.
Yep. Actually, he didn't pay her, but
yep.
I mean, he didn't do what he was supposed to do.
And that's that on that contract. He didn't do what he's supposed to do.
And again, that was before Moses was ever born. We're not
exactly.
even in the book of Exodus yet.
That's what I'm saying.
Or she moved.
So that was right, and that was a right and a wrong way to do things. And we had a right and a wrong way to do things.
Right.
And so he didn't do it. He suffered consequences. His son suffered consequences. Because especially that second one, I mean, you know you're supposed to be having a baby, but you're going to pull out. You're going to have sex with him, but you're going to pull out. Come on, baby.
He didn't want to honor his brother.
Mm-mm, no. No love for his brother. Well, and you know what? The DNA don't fall far from the tree. We the same
right.
way. Don't want to honor our brothers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Judah, because Judah sold his little baby brother, sold his father while he's killed him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
His two sons, they had no love for one another.
Exactly.
Which is sad.
Cause it's sad.
You realize, you know, it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah,
you
it's do spiritual.
Spiritually, copulation, sex, is not just a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, too.
Truth be told. Truth be
yep.
told, Kyle. You said that you answered the money question. It's a spiritual thing. It ain't just a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. But as you're going to see in our study, especially along with Joseph, it's a spiritual thing. And Joseph knows this, and he's going to make reference to it. You know, when he and his brother make amends, he said, y'all ain't did nothing wrong. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can't go there. So, tune in Monday. I can't go there. Cartrell, I know
yes,
you have
sir.
A lovely song for us, brother, and we're all ears.
Isn't this family night, bro?
Well, Jerry's on, and Sister Abby, y'all's on, but that's about it right now. You know, you got a lot of folks on, but they don't come on through the radio, come on through the phone. They come on through the radio because this is a radio talk show. So they plug up their computers and whatnot, and they listen in through the talk show. But, you know, a lot of people come on the talk end. That's if they want to talk. Now, they ain't necessarily got to. They come on through the chat line. We got a chat line. Or they come on through the radio. It's a radio talk show. So some people just like to listen, and maybe they understand the premise, Cartrell. You got 2 hours and 1 mile, and that means you need to listen up twice as much as talking. So maybe they ain't in the mood. They in the mood to understand. They want to see it, Cartrell, through our eyes, and they want to travel this journey along with us, and just see all the beauty of what we're talking about, and they want to experience the smells. They want to experience what they can see in their mind's eye and whatnot. And they want to just glean all this information. So, you know, I'm glad we can do that. But we do like for them to talk when they talk, man. But now, then again, that's the way it is sometimes, Cartrell.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with listening and learning. And, you know, sometimes the quietest people in the class are the smartest ones.
I do, though, Cartrell. Because I wasn't that quiet in my classes.
I'm sure you wasn't, brother.
You ain't got to go there, bro.
Nah, but you tell us you was a troublemaker, so I know you was in the class. Teacher had problems.
You ain't got to go there, Cartrell. You ain't got to go there. Because I know how to do like the brothers do a self-examination. I know my shortcomings.
Yes. But it was you that said, you know, your mind's eye on a journey. So you just brought a vision to my eye. I could see you in school in a class with a teacher.
But you know how the Most High helped me, Cartrell? He made me a lover of reading. I love reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mayhem I may have been causing at school, I made up for my love for reading. And study, you know. So, you know, I was a private student of the Most High. So I made up because I love reading and stuff, and that's how I made up for it, that I lacked in the public forum. I made up for by and a lot of people didn't realize that I was a student of read. I love books and reading,
As a matter of fact, I got a book yesterday. I just finished reading it. I got it yesterday and just finished reading it and finished start on another one after the show is over with. So I can read a book. I can read several books in a matter of days on end.
I got one thing to say.
What's that, Cartrell?
Google is no substitution for reading.
That's what I'm saying. I love reading. I love the smell of books. I love the feel of them. I can stop right here, put a place mark in it. I can come back a few minutes. I ain't got to turn on the power. I ain't got to flip a switch. I just flip a page.
And when you're reading a book, you got to be quiet, right? You got to listen to the book speak to you.
Exactly. And you be meditative, too, when you're in those books. It takes your mind somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it's either in our studies, Cartier, when we go there in our studies of the Most High, that my mind travels. My mind traveled to that place, that time. I can hear the sounds. I can smell the sounds. I can see the time element. And I can see things. And I only wish people could enjoy that, what you see through the reading.
And just like it's not just a mental thing, it's a spiritual thing as well.
Exactly.
Reading the words of the Most High, you should be going through a spiritual journey as well.
Bruh, Cartrell, I mean, sometimes, you know, some stories, it have you so greedy, Cartrell. I'm about 4 or 5 chapters ahead. Before I know, left up to me, I'd be to read the whole story. I had to pull myself back, Cartrell. It's so exciting, even though I've read it before, but my mind was not as clear as it is now, and I can see things a whole lot better and clear. And so it's just like I'm reading it all over again new.
Repetition helps you see more details.
Exactly.
Just like a movie. You see a movie one time, then you see it again. Oh, I didn't see that the first time.
I missed that, right.
Yeah. So repetition is good, because then you
are
able to really expand your mind and your spirit, especially reading scriptures. That's why they call them the Holy Scriptures. It ain't just for your mental gain, it's for your spiritual gain.
Right.
But they call it the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures.
It can put off your depression. It can put off anything that what ails you. If you're depressed about something, you're down and out about something, you have anxiety about something, these words can alleviate a whole lot of that, Cartrell.
Well, we see that all that Job is going through, he's not on his deathbed, is he?
No.
He thinks he's there, but y'all still carrying him through in spite of what he's going through, right?
Exactly.
So we in the same boat. With all that we're going through, y'all still carrying us through.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to start seeing it through the eyes of y'all, because, you know, we know in our studies, Cartrell, the Most High said, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways. You see things from a man's point of view, but I see things from a spiritual essence. I'm omnipotent, omnipresence, and, I just see things different, and I travel different worlds, and I see different things. Because I created this. You see a microcosm of what I see. You know a microcosm of what I know. And you hear a microcosm of what I hear. But you can't understand, like he told us to talk to, we can talk to trees. And trees can reveal things to you, who they are. Trees have faces. Y'all didn't know that. I'm not talking about like them. Horror movie. But trees have faces. They have faces of their wisdom and so on and so forth. Trees can be calming. Trees can show distress. But if we don't trust in Yah, I'm super retarded. He crazy. He just lost it. Ooh, one for a cuckoo nest. Whatever, Cartrell. No, if Cartrell, if y'all said the trees speak to us, I believe that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, hey, Tree, what's going on, partner? What you been up to? Hey, doing nothing. Not like that. But in a spiritual sense. Tree,
well, if you don't trust in that, then you don't trust in the works of Dr. George Washington Carver.
Exactly.
Because he let you know, he spoke to nature. He spoke to the trees. He spoke to the bushes. He spoke to the plants. Mm-hmm. And they gave up some science to him that was incredible. They couldn't believe it. The white people was like, where you get this from? He told them, like, straight from my communication with nature. So I don't know how many products he came up out of the peanut. But
a whole lot, Patrick. A whole lot of products he came up out of that peanut, okay?
Yeah, peanut was talking to him. Mm-hmm. He was talking to the peanut.
Hey, man, if it works for him, it works. And I believe that it works.
We can't see that. But imagine his life and the time he's living in. He didn't have no TV, he didn't have no radio, no distractions. He's just out in nature all day, every day. And people that live in the forest, they really in tune with the forest. Forest people, they could live there. People that grow up in Western Hemisphere, they would die maybe a week after they lived in the forest with no help.
Mm-hmm.
The people that grow up in the forest, they know how the forest speaks to them and what gifts, you know, nature give up.
Exactly.
The medicine, the herbs, for everything, whatever you need, whatever your ails are.
Well, you know, the natives of this land and many lands, they didn't have PhDs and medical degrees.
This land didn't even have a cold, a common cold. The Europeans brought the common cold here.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't know that.
And smallpox and whatnot, and all these viruses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And syphilis and whatnot.
And they try to tell us now that we the most affected people when these virus and pandemics come out.
Huh.
And that might be slightly true, but we came over here butt naked on slave ships with those diseases that was on them, but we still here strong in 2020.
Exactly.
Whereas it's being wiped out, smallpox wiped out the Native American. It didn't wipe us out.
No, still got brothers like Shaq. Shaq, what's his name? LeBron. Right. Out of these so-called sickly disease people, they pulled from the bowels of those slave ships.
Serena, Venus, William.
Right.
Yeah, not just the brothers, sisters, too.
Yeah.
Strong, bright, intelligent people.
And what about them little sisters on those be doing those the gymnasts? Them sisters, they may be some little bitty women. Them little sisters strong.
Oh yeah, they powerful, more stronger than mm-hmm. stronger than me and you.
Yeah.
To be doing what they do.
Little bitty thing, about 4 foot tall, man. She be swinging and flipping and jumping up and down, man. I said, look, yeah, I like to see them sisters doing their gymnastics because them little sisters can do it, though.
Better than anybody else in the world.
Exactly.
We just don't have the opportunity to develop more of our talents in our neighborhood because we are deprived and oppressed and neglected. Yeah.
Yeah, given that
I live in a Fort Claremont area, man. They ain't even got a good Boys and Girls Club. The one they got is run down.
Yeah. We're giving
no
up any
pools, no tennis court, no gymnastics coaches, no tennis, none of that.
Well,
got Little League baseball and Pee-wee football. They do have that.
Given the opportunity, we can excel in anything, Contrary.
Anything.
I don't care if it's mental, it or physical. We can excel in anything given the opportunity.
I was just looking at this young brother. He's a CEO. Only 12 years old.
Because
there's another young barber, he was 12 years old. He's going to an aerospace college. He's 12 years old, going to college.
Because, you know, he was given opportunities. He was given the opportunities by his parents, and probably somebody took a liking to him. Cartrell, let me tell you something, brother. Most time when I go to court and situation in civil court, all praise to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't take attorneys with me. And they be wondering, well, how you did that? I said, the Most High led me in that direction. So I won case after case. And I ain't went to no legal school. I just got a mind of sort things and details and whatnot. What an average person would miss it, I pick it up. And the Most High draws your mind outside the curve. And if you allow the Most High to lead, direct and order yourselves, the Most High draws you outside the curve. And you can see things much more clear.
That's the only way I move, according to the word of Most High, my relationship with him. He's been directing and moving me since I was born, I guess. I'm not guessing, but yes. Most High is the one who created us. He's the one that moves us. And it's important, like you said, because we're looking at the story of our ancient fathers, Joseph and his brothers, how they was dealing with each other. But it's really the Most High manipulating them. Right?
Exactly.
He stirred up the hate between Joseph and his brothers, that Joseph could be sold into Egypt in order to preserve the family later on down the line.
I couldn't get before the story. Contrary, you can't get before the story. If I can't go, you can't go.
Okay. But we're talking about the dream. You're right. My bad. But let me get it.
Well, I guess I know you got a lovely song so you can get started.
Yes, another song of Asaph. We got to find out who Asaph is. Psalm 76. Let's get a chance to get there. It says, in Yehuda, Elohim is known. His name is great in Yisrael. In Salem, also, is his tabernacle. We know Salem is short for Jerusalem. And his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield, and sword of battle. Yet he had to take Jerusalem, King David, and his mighty men. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep. And none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O Elohim of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into the deep sea. Now we reflect on what he did to the Egyptians when they came out with the army, when we were trapped at the Red Sea. You yourself are to be feared, and you who may stand in your presence once you are angry. You don't want to be in the Most High's presence when he's angry, especially at you, because Adam and Eve found that out firsthand, and we have found that out firsthand. Y'all angry with us. We try to go into his presence. You caused judgment to be heard from heaven and were still when Elohim arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth. How much of the oppressed of the earth will Yah deliver? He says, all of the oppressed of the earth. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. Make vows to Yah, your Elohim, and pay them. That all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. And all the nations and all the people of the earth, everything that lives and breathes, is going to feel the presence of Yah when he begins to bring this judgment. So get yourself right now. Don't wait till the last day, because we are in the latter days and there is an appointed time. So it's like Job, you need to focus on yourself. Stop pointing fingers. Stop looking at everybody else. Focus on our relationship between us and the Most High.
Well, that said a whole lot in a short words.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cottrell, my brother, thank you very much. I don't want you to have a blessed weekend. You and your family be safe.
Thank you, sir. You did the same.
And keep me in your prayers. I'm gonna keep I'm gonna keep you in minds, and listeners, keep me in your prayers, and I'm gonna keep you in minds. I hope the studies that we've brought to you found informative. exciting, hopeful, and most importantly, that you apply it to your life. You can't do anything without application. I could have a radio all day long in my house. As long as I don't turn it on, it ain't going to do any good for me. Ain't that the truth, Cartrell?
Yes, sir. You're right about that.
Okay. Go ahead, Cartrell. I'm sorry.
So you got to turn up the music sometime and get into the meditation.
Truth be told, Cartrell. Truth be told.
Well, we gave him a lot to meditate on.
Now, say that again, Cartrell.
I said we gave him a lot to meditate on.
Certainly, we gave him a whole lot tonight. And we encourage them to do their studies. You don't have to wait for us. Just come back to the chapter we at. You can move on at any clip and pace you want to. But always come back to study along with us in the chapter that we left off at. Because I certainly do. Well, listeners, we don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you. May He direct and order your steps. And stop leaning to your own understanding. That's not going to work for you. It's going to work entirely against you. Entirely. We love you and be blessed. Keep us in your prayers and we'll keep you in ours.
Thank you.